Today's passage is John 20, 11 to 18. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped in to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Yesterday, we read the first part of John 20, which takes place on Easter Sunday. If you remember, early in the morning, Mary goes to the tomb, sees that it is empty, tells the disciples, and Peter and John run over to see that it's indeed empty, with just the cloths left behind, folded up. And from the first verse from today's passage, we learn that Mary went back to the tomb with them, and she stays behind after they left to go home. From Mary's interaction with Jesus, I just want to point out three things that we see. First, we see a picture of grief turning into joy. It was obvious that Mary really loved Jesus, and she's found mourning for him. She is the one who sticks around the tomb after Peter and John go home. She is weeping because she thinks somebody has taken away Jesus' dead body. She's probably thinking, it was bad enough that he was crucified and died such a bad death, but now somebody has taken away his body? And she doesn't know what to do but just to stay by the tomb. Looking inside, she sees the two angels sitting where Jesus was laid. They ask her, "Why are you weeping?" And after she answers and turns around, she sees Jesus, who she doesn't recognize at first. Between the tears and the fact that she saw Jesus die on the cross and confusion from where his body was, between all those things, Mary doesn't know it's Jesus until he calls her by name. Mary immediately recognizes him then, and her world of grief and mourning is turned completely upside down because Jesus, against all odds, earthly speaking, has resurrected. A second highlight from this scene is Jesus' lordship. Jesus is resurrected, and he has not resurrected just to stay on earth, but he is going to ascend to the Father. At first, it seems a little sudden or out of place that the first thing he says, as recorded here, after Mary recognizes him, is, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." But Jesus makes it clear that he is not going to stay on earth physically much longer. Rather, he says, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." It reminds me of how before the cross, Jesus had his eyes on the cross. He was resolved to drink the cup of suffering since that was his mission, despite moments when his disciples urged him not to keep going in that direction. And now, in this passage, it seems like that same sense of resolve, that Jesus is set on going to the Father. He's set on ascending to the Father. So Mary should not cling on to him. He will be ascending soon, as he indeed does a few weeks later. The third and final highlight I want to point out is Jesus extending his sonship to the believers. As we just read again, he says he's returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. And he's talked about this several times before in this gospel, that his disciples, including us as his disciples today, have a personal relationship with the Father because we know Jesus. Jesus took on human flesh to identify with us and in all ways to make for us a way to the Father. He identifies with us in all ways, being born a baby, growing up, dying on the cross for our sins, and he was even buried in a tomb, like all men do when they die. And in this last step, he says he is ascending to the Father. In John 14:2, Jesus says, In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you to prepare a place for you? We have an assurance that by his grace we will also ascend to our Father one day. Jesus reminds Mary and us reading that we have a relationship with the Father because of him. He has extended his sonship and his status to us. As we digest all this, Jesus turning Mary's grief to joy, his lordship on display after resurrection, and at the same time, his making a way to the Father for us, let's pour out our praise to him. Perhaps we can put ourselves in Mary's shoes and imagine seeing the risen Jesus, recognizing him, and just rejoicing and praising him. Perhaps that imagination will help us to really appreciate his resurrection and praise him in that way. Let's personally thank him and worship him, and let's also ask for a growing relationship with him, where we draw closer to him every day. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done for us, and Jesus, we thank you for your resurrection and all that it means for us. Lord, just as you died for our sins, Lord, you ascended to heaven and you were the forerunner for us. You made a way for us by your grace and by what you've done. So Lord, we pray today we would just be in awe of your resurrection, and that God, that we would be seeking a growing relationship with you each day. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.